Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, at the Mishnah, which is the beginning of the fifth Perek, Perek Beis Shammai. So the Mishnah reads, Beis Shammai Omrim, Hektish Tois Hektish. We can translate this literally, but the Gemara will explain through examples what this really means, but it has to do with the dedication of something, sanctification of something, under mistaken circumstances. Even though there's an element of, we'll say, mistake or lack of clarity, nevertheless, the sanctification takes hold. Ubeis Hillel oimrim enoi hektish. And Beis Hillel says that it does not become binding. Ketzad. In order to illustrate this, the Gemara says, Omar shor shochor sheyetze mi beisi rishon harehu hegdish v'yotza lovan. A person said the an ox that's black that went out of my house first shall be sanctified. And, in fact, a white one went out first, and he thought that a black one went out first. Beishamai omrim hektish. Beishamai says, sanctification takes hold. Ubeis Hillel omrim eino hektish. Sanctification does not take hold. Another example. Dinor zov shiyale biyodi rishon hareyu hektish. The first gold dinar, it's a type of coin, the denomination. The first gold dinar that comes into my hand, first, harehu hektish, va'olo shel kesef, and a silver dinar came up. Beis Shammai omrim hektish, Beis Hillel omrim eino hektish. Chofes shel yayin shetale biyodi rishoino, arehi hektish, va'olso shel shemen. A barrel of wine that enters my hand first shall be sanctified, and there, instead of a barrel of wine, a barrel of oil appeared. Beis Shammai omrim hektish, Beis Hillel omrim eino hektish. The Gemara. Before we continue in the text, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. And we've written in that this topic is Ad HaMishneh B'Amud Beis, lasts till the Mishnah that you see on the lower part of Amud Beis. Nisayon Lahavin Shitas Beis Shammai Binyan Hegdish Betos, an attempt to understand Beis Shammai regarding this topic of sanctification under mistaken circumstances. V'im Yesh Lumoid Dine Hegdish Mitmura. And shall we learn the rules of Hegdish from the rules that apply to Tmura? Tmura is a specific area within the general topic of Hegdish, of sanctification, whereby a person attempts to replicate the sanctity that is on one animal onto another animal. In other words, if there is a korban ola in standing in front of him, and there is a regular, a mundane, a common animal, chulin, and you say, regarding the chulin animal, I want it to have upon it the sanctity that is on this Ola, trying to replicate the Kedusha. That's Temura. And there are certain principles that apply to the case of Temura sanctity that will appear in this Gemara. So the Gemara, after citing Beishamai or Mehegdish v'chulei, Mai tamayu de Beishamai, what is the reason for Beishamai saying that Hegdish tos is Hegdish? Again, we're cautioning that we're not sticking to a literal translation, though right now tos means Hegdish sanctification under mistaken circumstances, mistaken understanding. But we have to be flexible and open-minded as we go through the Gemara. So why, according to Beis Shammai, does it take hold? Answer, the Alfinon Tchilas Hegdish Misof Hegdish. Beis Shammai derives initial sanctity, where you have an item that was not holy, and you are imposing upon it sanctity for the first time, from the case of Sof Hegdish. Sof Hegdish is the realm of Temura. Temura, why is it called Sof? Sof means end of Hegdish. Sof indicates that you're dealing with something, a situation where there is already sanctity, and you're trying to replicate that sanctity. So it's not the initiation of sanctity, but rather the replication of sanctity. That's called Sof Hegdish in our discussion. Ma Temura Afilu Betos, just like the case of Temura, takes hold even where there is, we'll say, mistaken circumstances. Af Hektish Afilu Betos. So too, with regard to Hektish, it takes hold even if there are To'o circumstances. We want at this point to take a look at the Tosfos. You'll notice that in these couple of dapim, we've provided a facing page of Tosfos, because in these dapim, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, the Tosfosin are severely, let's say, mislocated or out of order or located in different places. So we've provided a facing page of Tosfosin now and then in the next couple of dapim. So look at the Tosfos on the top Tosfos on the Tosfos page. My taimo de Beis Shammai, yalfi tchilas hegdish misoif hegdish. Soif hegdish, we're reading in the Tosfos, kori tmura, ma tmura afilu betos, yoshim perek sheni de tmura, Rabbi Yosef Rebuda quotes the posuk where the word yeh appears, le rabbi shegei kemezid, v'koy akro, and this yeah word is coming or referring to the pasuk v'hayahu utmuraso yeh kodesh, and Rabbi Yossi says that the word yeh comes to include the unintentional like the intentional. Umeforish Rabbi Yochanan hasam b'tmura, and Rabbi Yochanan explains this in Maseches Tmura, lomar shetmuraso oila shlamim kama oila ushlamim Oimdim lefanov, the rotsalomar behemas chulin shelefanov arezu tmuras ola. Imagine a situation where a person has an ola sacrifice and a shlomim sacrifice standing in front of him, and there's also a chulin, an unsanctified animal, in front of him, and he wants to say regarding the chulin animal, he wants to declare it Tmuras Ola. And instead of actually saying Tmuras Ola, Ola replicant, he says Shlomim. O Kosovo Lomor Shochar, yeah, Tmura V'Omar Lovan. Or he thought to dedicate the black animal as the Tmura, and he said white. Dechal Tmura Al Halovan. The replication of sanctity will take hold on the white animal, even though that's not the one he really intended initially. Vahashta yalfi Beis Shammai, and at this point Beis Shammai learns ma tmura betois afhegdish nami yochul betois, just like tmura operates takes hold, even though there's this element of mistake, lack of intention. Hekdesh also operates thusly. In our mission as well, Kiyomar Shor Shochar Shiyetze Mibesi Rishon Yeh Kodosh. A person said, the first black animal to exit my house shall be sanctified, V'yotzalovon Rishon, and a white one went out first, Halovon Kodosh. The white one becomes sanctified, the Hochi Boy Lemeimar Shor Shiyetze Mibesi Rishon Yeh Kodosh. What he should have said is, the first animal to exit my house shall be sanctified. Lo shno shochar v'lo shno lovan. O Adam, no difference regarding its color, whether it's black, white, or red. V'hadikom ha-shochar. And that which he said, the black one that comes out of my house first. Kasavur shishor shochar yetzei tchili. He thought that the black one would come out of his house first. So, just like in the realm of Tmura, we see Tmura takes hold even though the declaration made was not with full intention, so too with Hekdesh, namely our Mishnah, where a person was dedicating an initial sanctity. The first black animal to come out of my house first shall be sanctified, and a white one comes out, and according to Beis Shammai, that white one will be sanctified. We continue in the Gemara. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai. They say, Hani Mili Tmura. It says that's true that an unintentional Tmura takes hold, but that's only with regard to Tmura Aval. Achusi Hekdish Betois Lo Machtinon. But having, imposing an initial sanctity where there was no sanctified animal to begin with, and you are now imposing sanctification at the outset, it doesn't operate when you are dealing with, let's say, to'ois, unintentional, mistaken circumstances. The Gemara now focuses a question on Beis Shammai. Ula Beis Shammai, Ma Ilu Omar. What would be had he said, Hare zeh, tacha zeh, l'chatsi hayom? This is a tmura declaration. He says, I want this animal, referring to a chulin animal, to be a replication of this one, a sanctified animal, at midday. Mi havya tmura mehi shaita? Would the tmura set in at the moment that he spoke? No. Elo ad demoti chatsi hayom hu dehavya tmura. The tmura will set in only at midday. In other words, we wait till midday. Hochinami, so too in our case. L'chi megalia milsa. Why not say that the sanctification will take place when things become clear? Now, to appreciate this, once again, let us look upon the Tosfos. We're looking at the Tosfos where there's a little star on the upper part of the Tosfos page. In the middle of the line, there's a star. Uporech l'taima de Beis Shammai. And we ask, now, according to Beis Shammai, who was learning this concept of tois from Tmura and applying it to initial Hekdesh, we ask, Beis Shammai, Ma Ilu Omar, according to Beis Shammai, had the fellow said, Hare Zu Tacha Zu Tmura L'chatsi Hayom. I want the Tmura to set in, I want this the replication of sanctity to set in at midday. Mi Havya Tmura Mehi Shaita, would the Tmura set in at the moment he spoke, Elo, to Moti Chatsi Hayom Hudahavi Tmura. Only when midday comes would the Tmura set in. Hachi Nami Luchi Megalio Milsa. So too over here, when things become clarified. Vahachi Pirusho. And now Tosfos explains what the Gemara just said. Hechi Yalfi Beis Shammai Tchilas Hekdesh Mitmura. How can Beis Shammai learn initial sanctification from Tumura. V'ha lo domi la. They're not similar. Dasam k'shasavur lomar shoshachur yet Tumura. V'omar lovan. In the case where he thought to say the black one should be the Tumura, and he said white. D'chal Tumura al halavan. The replication takes hold on the white one. We didn't mention earlier, but when an animal becomes tmura, when the hektish is replicated, it then gains sanctity and it's offered as a sacrifice. So if he thought to say black one shall be the replica, and he ended up in actuality saying white, the tmura takes hold upon the white one. In Cain, mekaimin ma shehoitzi befiv. We actually fulfill that which he said. Aval hacha kshamar befiv. But in our case, in the Mishnah, where he said, Shor shachar shiyetze mibesi ye kodesh. His mouth said, the black one that comes out of my house first shall be sanctified. Minayin lonu lishano isma shehoitzi mipiv. Where do we come along with the power to change that which he said? In other words, in our Mishnah, it seemed that we were saying that the white one would become sanctified. He never said that. In the case of Tmura, he said, he intended to say black one, but actually said white one. The white one becomes sanctified because we're following what he said. In our case of initial sanctity, the man said, black one that comes out of my house first shall be sanctified, and we are imposing hektish kedusha on the white one. But he never said that. Adarabba, nomar di'ein da'as ho'ish lahakdish ki'im shochor. We should say, if the man said black one that comes out of my house first, that's what he really intended. Black one only. Upiv libo shavin. And so what? The white one came out. His intention was the black one. And if a black one would have come out, we would have said that's Kodesh, and we would have had a situation where Piv, his mouth, Velibo, and his heart are one and the same. The Eich Nomar, how can we come along and say Sheesh v'mashmos l'shono Sherotzel ahaktish harishon v'afilu hulavon? How can we say what we suggested before, that the man really wanted to sanctify the first one that comes out, even if it was white? Da b'tmura nami lo nucha l'shanois b'dvorov. When it comes to tmura, we're not changing what he actually says. Dilukoi b'tzafra v'yoymer harezu tmura sezu l'chatzi ayom. In the case of Tmura, he said, I'm replicating this Kedusha at midday. In other words, in the morning hours, he says, I want the Tmura to set in at midday. Klomar, Chatzi Yom HaSheni, the second half of the day. Oz Yachul Hegdish B'Tmura. Mi Havi Tmura Meishaita Shenoda Min HaBoker Lim Ol Ba. Would you think that from the moment he spoke in the morning, the Tmura shall set in, imposing upon that second animal sanctity, which would create the prohibition of me'ila, the prohibition of using it for your personal benefit? Rather, when midday comes, then it becomes clear retroactively to Havi Tmura that it is sanctified. In the realm of Tmura itself, we're not changing his words. We're going according. We are acting and sanctifying according to what came out of his mouth. Hachi nami, so too. And this is the heart of the Gemara's question. Hachi nami, so too here with initial sanctity. L'chigaya milsa klomar. The Gemara made reference to. So to hear when things become clear, klomar b'mishnosenu kemo kein lo neshana diburot, We shouldn't change his words. Ela lechi megaya milsa kemo shehotzi b'fiv. Also, yeah, kodesh v'hotzi m'piv shor shachar. When it becomes clear, according to that which he said, and he said, black one, v'eich neshana dibur lahakriv halavan, how then can we come along and offer the white one and sanctify the white one? That's nothing. He never said white one. So that if Beis Shammai is really using the Temura realm as a precedent, we're not being faithful, we're not being true to that analogy. We turn back to the Gemara. Scan ahead, by the way, and you'll notice some markings. There's a house marking, and we have a Roman numeral number 1 with Rav Papa, and on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, toward the upper part of the page, around the 7th line from the top, you notice another house with Abaye. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivne, a structural note. Shtei Gishos, 2 approaches. Kedei Lahasbir Beis Shammai Ekev Kushis HaGemara Midin Tmura. 2 approaches to explain Beis Shammai with having heard this question on what we said from Tmura. Person who stands in the morning and says, I want the Tmura to take hold at noon. It takes hold only at noon, not before. Just like he said, therefore, how can Hekdish that's under mistaken circumstances take hold? We don't find in Temura our applying sanctity to something other than that which he said. The Gemara, Omar Rav Papa. Let us point out that according to the Tosfos, Mirsa Shem will have a chance to look at the Tosfos. According to the Tosfos approach, from our Mishnah, you cannot conclude that Beis Shammai holds mistaken sanctity and on the simple level actually become sanctified. And that's why we have been hesitating till now to translate the word tos as simply meaning a mistake, that a mistake in Hegdish takes hold. We want to avoid that in order to appreciate what our Rav Papa deals with the Mishnah. Omar Rav Papa, Lekach Ne'emar Rishon. The Mishnah spoke about, in its example, spoke about the first one that comes out of the house shall be sanctified. In the Mishnah we saw, on the second line from the top, we see Shor Shachar Shietzim Beisi Rishon Hareu Hegdish V'yotza Lavan. Beis Shammai says sanctity takes hold. However, that statement, sanctity takes hold, actually is going on the first black one to come out of the house amongst the black ones. The Gemara itself is quite terse, and we'll, Mirtz Hashem, see this explained more clearly when we look at the Tosfos. But in the meantime, Rav Papa says, Lekach Ne'emar Rishon, L'cheshiyetze Rishon. And as we explained, his intention and the sanctity is with regard to the first black one of the black ones that he has that comes out first. And hence the Mishnah, when it says sanctity takes hold, it doesn't mean that sanctity takes hold upon the white one. It might be that physically the first animal to exit a house was a white one, but we're not saying that that is the one that became sanctified. Not like we thought before, but rather, which one becomes sanctified? The first black ox amongst his black oxen will be sanctified. The Gemara asks, "V'ha shor shachor k'amar milo askin deles le Elohai." The Mishnah said shor shachor in the singular. Is it not so that our Mishnah is also including the case where he has only one black ox? And if that's the case, we can't explain, like we said, that his intention really was to sanctify the first of the black oxen. When you say first, you indicate that there are others. But the Mishnah says shor shachor, indicating that we're talking about even a case where there is altogether only one black ox. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says no. The Mishnah is speaking the islay train tlosa, that he really has two or three black oxen. Hence, this explanation remains valid. And when you go back to the Mishnah, second line from the top, what did he say? He said, "Shor shachor shietzim beisi rishon harehu hegdish v'yotza lavan." He said, the first of the black oxen that I have that comes out of thou shall be kodesh, and it just so happens that a white animal was the first animal to exit the house. Very nice. Beishame mehegdish. Beishame says the first of the black ones will be sanctified, and hence we're being quite true to his words, just like we saw in Tmura, that we are being faithful to the man's words. Now we're going to look at the Tosfos and see this explained. On the same page of Tosfosin, Amar Papa lekachnem arishon lechashietz arishon pirush. The Rav Papa svirale the Beis Shammai lo gamri hegdish mitmura lomar. Rav Papa is of the opinion that Beis Shammai does not learn hegdish from Tmura in order to say the hegdish betoyz have hegdish v'alovan kedosha. That a mistaken hegdish is so effective that even the white one will be sanctified. The Havabe lo domi l'tmura, saying such a thing would not then be paralleling hegdish to the tmura at all. The b'tmura anu mekayimin dvarav, as we indicated before, in tmura we are being faithful to the man's words. We're maintaining his words. And here, if we're going to sanctify the white one, we're contradicting his words. Ela v'kotoni masnis in hegdish. The Mishnah used the word hegdish. You notice that word third on the last word on the third line from the top of our Omud. The last one line was hegdish. Ashochokoi. It means the black one will be sanctified. Ulekachom a rishon. And the man, when he said rishon, what it was his intention? V'chsheitzei rishon klomar. Afabisha lo yetzei rishon min abayas el alavan. Even though the first animal that may exit the house is a white one. Afilochi shabim miskayim in dvorov. Shomar shochor shiyotzei rishon. We're still being faithful to his words when we say that the word hegdish sanctity takes hold on the black one. And the Mishnah is about a case where the man has several black oxen. As the Gemara says, and this is what he really intends to say. In this man's statement, when he said shor shochor sheyetzim mebeis rishon, what he means by that is shor shochor sheyetzim rishon l'shar shchorim yehegdish. The first of the black ones to come out of the house first shall be sanctified. Dahavi hashochor hegdish, and with that the first black one will be sanctified. Dahashtalo nistar dvorov. With this, we're not contradicting his words. Ela nofak rishon de ko'omar, when he in his sanctity said shietze mebeisi rishon l'shchorim, the first of the black ones. Delo mibaya inofik shochor rishon abayas. I don't have to tell you a case if the very first animal to exit his house was in fact the black one. Dashe legamri niskay mudvar davi hegdish. Then it's obvious we're fulfilling his words completely by indicating that first one exit, if it were in fact a black one, would be sanctified. Even if a white animal came out as the first animal from the house, we still explain his intention. That the first of the black ones to come out will be sanctified. V'ein hegdish betos. You don't have, in this description, mistaken sanctification. The Sfira Leila Rav Popa, the Hegdish Betois Lo Havei Hegdish. Rav Popa holds that a mistake in sanctification does not take hold. Upirish the Masnisin, and the explanation of the Mishnah Lo Kiddush Salka Daitach Meikorah Da'Lovon Kodosh, not like we thought initially, that the white one becomes sanctified. And here you see very clearly why we hesitated when presenting the Mishnah and the word Tov simply to mean mistake. Of course, when you read the Mishnah initially, that's what you would have read, that a mistaken sanctification takes hold and the white one becomes sanctified. Even though he said black, nevertheless, the white one becomes sanctified. Yeah, that's what you thought initially. But that's not the pshat. That's not the real explanation. Ela hashochar. Rather, what in fact becomes sanctified is the first of the black ones to come out. Baha delo ka'omar. Here is a technical point that Tosis mentions in the Gemara. It didn't say elo omar av papa. The word elo is often used when there's a transition from one point to one, from one idea or one opinion to another. Kevon she chozer bo mea misvoras agemara. The word elo would appear to be appropriate, because the Gemara is changing, is reversing from it what originally thought. Why so did the Gemara not have Elo Amar Rav Papa? Why in our Gemara do we have just Amar Rav Papa without the word Elo? Mishum Shelo Husku Shuma Amiru Lefonov. Because there was no previous name mentioned beforehand. If you would have had another rabbi speaking, and then we raise a question on what he said, and let's say this, and then reject the previous opinion, which was presented with a name, it would be appropriate then to say Elom Rav Papa. Comes along Rav Papa to say something different, but we didn't have a previous name associated with what we originally thought. For all the marish perik sheni the beishame and sheila beegdish pirish mishum beegdish tos havi hegdish. Here we're referring to a Gemara that we had at the beginning of the second parak of our Masechta, where Beis Shammai was presented as holding Hegdish B'tolos as Hegdish. That's not, you know, that Gemara there was not in accordance with Rav Papa, but in accordance with Abaye that appears later. We have a second house marking on Omid Beis for that. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim. In Cain, if it's so that this the fellow in the Mishnah, the one who was dedicating an animal to be sanctified, that his kavona, that his intention, was the first of the black ones, like we just got finished saying, well, Shiyetse Borishon Miboyale. The Beis is very important. In order to convey that idea that he wanted the first of the black ones to be sanctified, he should have said Shiyetse Borishon, the first of the black ones to come out. But he didn't say Borishon. Amale Rova Mibarnish Lerav Ashi. Rava from Barnish, the name of a place, says to Rav Ashi, Hai Hegdish Betolsu, Hegdish Bekavonahu. According to Rav Papa's explanation, We don't see any element of mistake. Fine, Beis Hillel has their own objection. But that aside, we don't see any element of mistake. According to Rav Papa's explanation, why then does the Mishnah speak about Hekdish Betols? The Gemara responds, Hachi Nami, you are right that the Mishnah, according to Rav Papa's presentation of Beis Shammai, does not present a case of a mistake. Elo mishum de'at ayin l'diburei kama. There's an element of mistake in the way he phrased what he did, in the way the man in the Mishnah who was sanctifying, he didn't speak in the most clear of fashions. And because of the lack of clarity of speech, the Mishnah uses the term Hekdish Betos. We now once again look at the Tosfos. The Tosfos that we're looking at is a little more than halfway down the Tosfos page. V'ha Hekdish B'kavonahu V'ein kantos L'beis Shammai V'am I kori leba masis Hekdish Betos. Why, if according to Rav Papa's explanation of Beis Shammai, there is no sanctification under mistaken circumstances, why does the Mishnah use the term mistake? Umishani, and we answer, Mishum de'at'ai l'lishnakama klomar, l'hachi kori lei hegdish tos. This is why the Mishnah used the term hegdish tos, l'fisha b'tchila yesh lit'ois b'lishnoi. Because initially there was room for making a mistake concerning the understanding of what the man said. Velomar, and to conclude, Shelo Rishon Shiyetse Minabayas Niskave Vainu Alovon. Eloshonu Meforshim Dvarv Sherotza Lomar Rishon Lishchorin. As we originally thought, based on the man's speech, there was room to think that he intended for the very first animal to come out of the house to be sanctified, and that was the white one. But rather, we are coming along and explaining what he said to mean that he intended the first of the black ones. So Hekdish Betos doesn't mean a mistake, but rather it means that the language the man used, second line from the top of the page, we saw Shor Shochar Shietzi Mi Beisi Rishon Areu Hekdish. There was room to think that he was trying to say that the first animal that comes out of my house shall be sanctified, and that would include even the white one. We come along and say that's not how to understand the man's speech, but rather as we explained earlier. I hope everyone is getting the point that when you read a Mishnah like this without the Gemara, how the term Hekdish Betos would take on one meaning, then when you study the Gemara, you see that it has a totally different meaning. And that's why when presenting Mishnayos, certainly in the context of the study of Gemara, one oftentimes has to, we'll say, be circumspect or hesitant to sticking to a literal translation, because oftentimes you'll find that to be changed. We continue in the Gemara. You'll notice that we have a new geometric shape. A triangle appears, and on the side of the Gemara, we note the triangle and highlights the expression Vesavri Beis Shammai. Kushios al Hezberos Rav Papa Shomar del Beis Shammai Hekdish Betos Greido Lo Chal. We're going to be raising questions now on Rav Papa. Rav Papa tried to convince us that according to Beis Shammai, the basic type mistake, simple mistake, doesn't take hold. So we're going to present sources which would seem to indicate otherwise, that the basically like we originally thought of. If a man says something, and it's there's some, and it's a mistaken thing, the circumstances are different than what he said, sanctity takes hold anyway. V'savri v'shamai hegdish betos lo havi hegdish. According to Rav Papa, we are given to understand that Beis Shammai would tell you that Hegdish Betos, what's called the simple type case of mistaken sanctification, would not take hold. Otnan. We have the following Tanaic source, Misha Noda ben Nazir v'nishala chachomim v'itiro. A person accepted a Nazir's vow, and then he went to a Torah sage and had it absolved. Voisulo behema mufreshes, and this man had an animal. He had animals set aside initially for the required korbanos, the required sacrifices that a nazir brings at the end of his nazirus. Now he's received absolution. Teitzei v'tira ba'eder, the animal goes free because it goes free to graze in his herd as if he was never a nazir. Amru beis Hillel beis Shammai, iatem moidim, do you not concede shehegdish betozhu v'teitzei v'tira be'eder? Here you have a case where there was the initial sanctification, you see, was retroactively was under mistaken circumstances, meaning he was, in fact, as a result of the absolution, he was never a nazir. And therefore his sanctification of animals as if they were needed for his nazirus was a mistake. And that's why it goes out free to graze. So now, Beis Hillel is saying this to Beis Shammai. What can we infer from Beis Hillel's reaction to Beis Shammai regarding Beis Shammai's own shita, or Beis Shammai's own position? Michlal de Sabri Beis Shammai, it must be that Beis Shammai holds Hegdish betos have Hegdish, that Hegdish under mistaken circumstances takes hold, and Beis Hillel was trying to show them that it does not take hold. So once again we see from here, through Beis Hillel's statement, we see what Beis Shammai really holds. And Beis Shammai apparently holds that sanctification under mistaken circumstances actually takes hold. Let us take a look at the Tosfos in order just to appreciate what we just learned a little more clearly. V'savri Beis Shammai hegdish betos lo havi hegdish. So Tosfos points out, like we said, l'Rav Papa Porech. We are raising our question on Rav Papa. V'atanya misha nadar v'nazir. We have this Tanaic source that we quoted. Masnisen hi v'pirkin. It's a Tanaic source in our perek. U'meforsh v'masnisen teitzei v'tir be'eder. Pirush kamo chulin. The animal, after the nazir received absolution, it becomes just like a chulin, a mundane animal. Ubeseifa de masnisen kotani, and at the end of the Tanaic source, the end of the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, it says Omru lohen beis ilel beis Shammai, iatem moide bozer shektish betosu v'teitzitir beeder klomar. V'chihechi demodestly beha, Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai, just like you concede to me in this case, fellow, after absolution of nazir vow, animals previously dedicated as sacrifice go free. Odis li lo nami behahi deshor shochor shelo yehekdish. The expectation on the part of Beis Hillel is that that Beis Shammai should concede also regarding our Mishnah with the black ox, that no sanctity should set in. Alma, we see from this, Shami Beisil Be Shamai, the time of the Bishor Shochar Mishum Degish Betosu. It must be that Beisil had heard Be Shamai regarding the black ox case, that the sanctification was under mistaken circumstances, and nevertheless, the Havi Hektish, the Koshilar Papa. And this would then present a problem for Rav Papa, because Rav Papa was very careful in presenting Beis Shammai as holding this, that the sanctification took hold, and in fact it took hold according to Rav Papa on the black one, and there was no mistake, and it was just a question of the man's initial language being slightly unclear, but not a mistake. Yet here you see from Beis Hillel's reaction to Beis Shammai that the Mishnah is to be understood in its simplest terms, probably like we initially were given to understand it, that man dedicated a black one, which comes out of his house first, to be sanctified, and a white one came out, and the sanctification, according to Beis Shammai, was on the white one, a pure mistake. The Gemara continues. We go back to the Gemara. Ela Beis Hillel, who deka ta'u. Beis Hillel made a mistake in their understanding of Beis Shammai. Savri Beis Hillel thought Tamayu de Beis Shammai mishum de hegdish betos habe hegdish, that the sanctification in the reisha was a function of sanctification takes hold even when there is a mistake. The Amri Lahon Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai responds, Lav Mishum Hegdish Betozu Ela Mishum Da'atei L'Diburei Kamo. Let's continue with the thesis where we left off. You see there's a triple star marking at the end of the line. Umishani Beis Hillel Hu Deto. It's Beis Hillel that made the mistake. The Savri Tami de Beis Shammai Mishum Degdish Betos Havi Hegdish. Beis Hillel mistakenly thought that Beis Shammai's ruling of sanctification in the Reisha was a function of Hegdish Betos being Hegdish. Ula Hachi Oisvi Luhu Mehan. For that reason, Beis Hillel thought to challenge Beis Shammai from the case of the Nazir that received absolution. Let's turn back to the Gemara. We'll just read the last couple lines that we already read. The Amri Lahon Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai's response to Beis Hillel is that the sanctification in the Reisha was Lav Mishum Hegdish Betol, so not because Hegdish under mistaken circumstances takes hold, Ela Mishum De'atei L'Diburei Kama. The initial speech was a type of speech where you could have misunderstood what he was saying, but with our, we'll say, interpretation of what he said, the sanctification takes hold, as we explained, on the first of the black ones to come out, and with that we are in fact faithful to his words with this, we'll say, with this additional clarification. We continue in the Gemara again with a similar question. The Savri Beis Shammai Hegdish Betos Lo Havei Hegdish. Does Beis Shammai really hold, like Rav Papa said, that Hegdish under mistaken circumstances doesn't take hold? Toshma, we have a Tanaic source. Hoyu Mahalchin Baderech. There were a group of people walking along. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. We can even say that there were six people that were walking along. The Tosfos has that girsa, Shisha Shoyu Malchim B'Derech. And as we said at the top of Amud Beis, the Echad Ba Kenegdon, and a man starts, he appears from the distance, coming opposite them. The Omar Echad, one of them says, Hareini Nazir Shezeh Ploni. I accept upon myself Nazirus. if that fellow coming from the distance is so-and-so. V'echon Omar, and a second fellow says, Hareini Nozir Shein Zeploni. Well, I'll be a Nozir if it's not that guy. Hareini Nozir She'echon Mikem Nozir. A third person says, in looking at these first two guys, and says, well, I'll be a Nozir if one of you guys becomes a Nozir. A fourth guy says, She'ein Echon Mikem Nozir. That I'll be a Nozir if one of you guys is not a Nozir. Sheshnechem Nazirin. A fifth guy says, I'll be a Nazir if both of you are Nazirim. And the sixth guy says, Shekuchem Nazirim. Beishamai Omrim Kulam Nazirim. And Beishamai says, they're all Nazirim. Avocha Hegdish Betolzu, Vekotoni Kulam Nazirim. Here you have a Hegdish, meaning in this case the Nazirus that they accept upon themselves. There is it's under mistaken circumstances, and yet they're all Nazirim. It can't be that they're all Nazirim, because the fellow coming from the distance is either the guy that they thought or not. And you notice that Mr. 1 and Mr. 2 are saying opposite things, so they can't both be Nazirim. And yet, Beis Shammai rules they're all Nazirim. Now, before we go further, once again, we glance at the Tosfos, at the end of the Tosfos page, Tosh Mashish Shoy Mahachim Bederech, Masnisin Ibapirkin, Ukvar Pirashi Masnisin Vahocha, the Hektish Betolzu, Vavi Hektish, Vichol Nazirus de Tolzu, Sharei Echod Minarishonim, Lo Nimso Kedovarov. This is a case of Nazirus under mistaken circumstance, because one of those first guys, it's the reality is not going to be like he said, Vafilochi Avi Nazir. And nevertheless, he does become a Nazir, Lefi Shaya Savur Shaya Bloni. When he spoke, he thought that it was going to be so and so. If you take the first guy in this list of people to speak up, he says, I'll be a Nazir if it's so and so. He really thought it was going to be that guy. Then it turned out it wasn't. V'tah kvar v'chayle Nazirus. He made a mistake. It wasn't so and so. And yet, Nazirus takes hold. Afilu b'tos, even with this mistake, he's still bound to observe Nazirus, according to Beis Shammai. Hochi nami, so to hear. Islay l'meimar, desvirlu l'Beis Shammai. Degdish b'tos v'mor, v'hegdish. That sanctification under fully mistaken circumstances nevertheless takes hold. The man said, I want the black one to become sanctified. And when it was discovered that the white one, a white one came out first, the white one becomes Kadosh. D'yeshlonu lefarish dvorav, d'mitchila niskavein lehegdish. And you'll ask, well, how can the white one become sanctified? Because he originally intended that the first animal to exit shall be sanctified. Lo shno shachar v'lo shno lavan, sheyetzi mipesach rishon. No difference whether it's a white one or a black one. Whatever comes out of the house first. V'adigmar shachar, that which he articulated black. He thought that the black one would come out first. And then, what happened? In reality, a white one came out first, and the white one becomes sanctified. So what do we see? Avol li'olam halavon kodesh. Afal gav de bitmura lo havi ademati chatziyom. Lo kodem lachen. Even though in the case of Tmura, we said we were going to be faithful to his words, and in the case where he said, I want the Tmura sanctity to take hold at midday onwards, and he was speaking in the morning, and the Tmura sanctity in fact waits till midday, not before that. Hani mili b'tmura. That is true in the case of Tmura. Tekoma b'feirush zu Tmura zu l'chatzi yom. V'leka l'fushe milsa b'inyan acher klal. And in that case, the reason we waited till midday before the sanctity sets in, because There is no way to explain what he said any other way. And ein lanu koach listor tov. We can't say that, we can't contradict what he said and have the sanctity set in from the morning. Aval hocha gabi hegdish. But here in the case of the hegdish and the initial sanctity of our mission with the black animal, ikol defrushin lemilsa behedya kedvarov. There's room to explain his words in accordance to explain his words in such a way that there would be no contradiction. Delo asala fuki lafon mehekdish. His intention wasn't to exclude the white one from hekdish. When he said that I want the first black one to come out of the house to be sanctified, at that point he thought a black one would come out first. And that's why he said black, but he wasn't intentionally trying to exclude a white one. When a white one, in fact, came out first, it becomes sanctified. But what is clear, though, at this point, is that a mistake was made. In other words, as we said, he thought a black one would come out first, and in reality a white one came out, and that doesn't interfere with the hegdish being chal, the hegdish taking hold on the white one. Well, that is certainly not what Rav Papa would have had you believe. We continue in the Gemara. Amri Savri Beishamai Hegdish Betos Havi Hegdish Mehocha. However, mehahi lo. A very surprising answer. In fact, all Rav Papa was trying to say was that if you're going to try to prove that Beis Shammai holds Hegdish Betos in the simplest form, in the simplest understanding of mistake, becomes sanctified, you are able to conclude thusly from the case of the six people accepting Nazirus. As we said, the first two guys couldn't both be right. There's one of them is clearly making a mistake, and yet Nazirus takes hold. So from there you see Hegdish Betos being Hegdish. However, from our Mishnah, Rav Papa will tell you, you can't conclude that. So that, just to repeat this last point, the big surprise here is that Rav Papa isn't coming to deny Beis Shammai holding Hegdish Betos really is Hegdish. All Rav Papa was trying to tell us is don't try to prove that from our Mishnah with the Shor Shocher Sheyetzim Beis Yerisham. The Gemara. Now we see Abaye. Abaye is a second approach to Beis Shammai, how to understand the Mishnah. Abaye Omar, lo kosalka daituch dekoim betzafra. Not like we thought that the man sanctifying the animals is standing in the morning, in other words, ahead of any animal exits. Pre facto. Ela hocha b'mayaskina dekoim betiara. Our Mishnah is speaking about something post facto. He is standing in the noon tiara, where tiara is like tzoharayim. If you interchange the tess with a tzadi, you can see the word tzoharayim alluded to here. He's standing at noon, V'yomar, and he's saying in the past tense, Shor Shochor Shiyotza Mibesi Rishon Leve Hegdish. He says the first black animal to exit my house shall be sanctified. Again, here we're reading Shiyotza Mibesi as opposed to the way we initially read Shiyetze Mibesi. That was future tense. This is past tense. The Omrule, and they tell the fellow, well, Lova Nofak, the first animal to exit your house wasn't a black one, it was a white one. The Omrulahon, And he responded, had I known that a black one was the first one to exit, I wouldn't have said black. If I would have known that a white one was the first one to exit, I wouldn't have said black. Well, under those circumstances, we understand why the white one becomes sanctified. The Gemara asks, "Umi motzis amris dekoyim b'tiara osik?" Can you say that our Mishnah is speaking about a case like that, where he's at noon and it's post facto, and he's speaking about that which already happened? V'ha'katoni dinar shelzov sheya'aleh. The example involving the gold coin was in the future tense. Tani, so we restate that she'aleh. So that you would read the Mishnah, Dina Shazav Ola, that already came up. We ask again, Chavit Shalayin Shita Alev. We see that the Mishnah must be understood in the future tense, just like we find by the barrels of wine, and it turned out it was oil. Tani Shalsa. No, that too you explain in the past tense. The, like we saw with the animal, where he said the first barrel of wine to that came up, and then we tell him it wasn't the first barrel to come up wasn't of wine, it was of oil. And then he would have responded and said, had I known that the first barrel to come up was oil and not wine, I would have said oil. Before going on into Gemara, let us look together at the Tosfos on the Tosfos page for the Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, third line from the top. Abaye Omar, Lo Salkadaitoch Dekoy B'Tzafra. Don't think that the Mishnah is talking about someone who is dedicating ahead of the facts in the morning. As we explained, the dedicator is standing at noontime. Shikvar yotsu habehemus min abayis liros bemire. The animals already left the house to graze in the fields. V'yomar, and he said, shor sheyotso kvar mibesi rishon. L'chol hashvorim min hein shchorim hein levonim levi hektish. The first animal to have come out of my house, whether black or white, I want it to be sanctified. V'yomrulo, and they told the fellow, Lavon yotzatchila. A white one came out first. V'yomar, and the man responds, Yihavi yodana de lavon nofak. Had I known that a white one would have exited first, lo havi amri shochor elo lavon. I wouldn't have said black, only white. Tahashto yeshlon lemeimar shoyadaito lechol mi shiyetze rishon. With this scenario, we can understand that he really intended any color that would have come out first, I want it to be sanctified. Umishum hachi havi hegdish afilu halavon, and therefore even the white one becomes sanctified. The alfinon mitura tahave hegdish afilu betos. We learn from Tumura that Hekdish sets in even if there was an element of mistake. The Abaye Svirole, the Koi Betsafra, the Omar Shor Shochor Sheyetze Rishon. Abaye holds that had he been standing in the morning before the facts and said the first black one to exit first, first black one to come out, v'omrule lova nafak, and they informed him, no, a white one came out first, v'omar, and he would have said, yihavi yodana de lova nafak, had I known that a white one would have come out first, have amino de baho afilu bis shamai modu de lo havi hektish. Abaye is telling us that in a case like that, even Beis Shammai would have agreed there is no sanctity. Share lo hoya yodea shietse hashochor tchila lekulan. V'loma hiskir shochor. In the morning, before any animal came out, he couldn't have known that a black one would come out first. Why did he mention black? Idaito have hoya lahakdish kol mi shietse rishon. If his intention, in a case like that, before any animal came out, was to sanctify any animal that would have come out, why did he mention black? Vanan sahadi lechatchilu kiyom ha'shol shochor davka l'shol shochor komechavein. In a case like that, where he would have indicated his sanctification intentions before any animal came out, and he would have mentioned at that time black, it's clear to us that his intention was only for a black one to be sanctified. Shim daito shietse hashochor tchila otum novihu leidahu asidus. If his intention was that a black one is the one that's going to come out first, is he a prophet to know the future? Ubechihai gavno vadai lo nelef mitmur. In a case like that, we're not going to use the Tmura precedent. For lo domi, in a case like that, is not similar l'shisha shayim halchem b'derech, the case of the six walking along the way. The hosom have nozir afilu oso shilo nimso kidvorov. In that case, he becomes a nozir, even he who turned out it wasn't like what he said. L'fisha b'chol inyin kobalolei nazirus. Because in that case, each one was willing to accept Nazirus under any circumstances. Umasha Omar Ish Bloni Hu, and that which he said, I'll be a Nazir, if it's so and so, Tobo Kishiro Me Rochok. He made a mistake seeing him from the distance. Avohocha Bama Yeshlo Litos Velomar the Shochor Osid Lotzes. In this case, what grounds for a mistake is there for him to have said black, thinking that a black one will be the first one to come out? He can't know the future. Elo yesh lomar de shochor davka komar. In a case of mourning dedication pre facto, before any animals came out, if he said, I want the first black one to come out, to be sanctified, his intention there was specifically for a black one. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned black. Avol ki omar b'tira shebeimus yotsu, in the case that Abaye explained, where he was in the he was at noontime, where the animals had already gone out. Yesh lonu lemeimar sheyadaita lechol sheyetsi rishon. Then there is room for us to say, for us to think that he had in mind for any of the animals to be sanctified, whichever one came out first. Umashi iskir shochor, that which he mentioned black. Lefisha shoma psius ragle hashor shuboki lakir psius ragle shvorov. He thought that a black one had come out first because he knows the sounds made by his animals walking. It's footsteps. He recognizes the sounds, and he thought that he was hearing the footsteps of one of his black animals. With this explanation, there's a nice parallel between the case of the Nazirus and the case of the animals. In the case of the Nazirus, he was mistaken by what he thought. He wanted to be a Nazir under any circumstances, and he tied it into a particular person because he thought that he was the person that he saw from the distance. So too with the animals, his intention was to sanctify whether it's black or white, he simply thought that he heard the footsteps of the black animal. That's why he mentioned black. And we'll say a mistake along these lines we can learn from Tmura. Beis Hillel, though, maintains a more exclusive position where even this cannot be learned from Tmura. We turn back to the Gemara, where we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new train of thought. On the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, a triangle appears, and we indicate Meimros Shel Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda will appear again a little bit later on the Omid, a few lines before the Mishnah. The Nosei, the topic heading here, Lefi Rav Chisda, Shor Shochar Gorua Mishor Lavan. According to Rav Chisda, a black ox is of poorer quality than a white one. HaGemara Taksha Lav Mimasnisen. The Gemara will ask on him from our Mishnah, Dim Hikti Shor Shochar, V'yotza Lavan, HaLavan Kadosh, that if he dedicated or sanctified black and a white one came out first, the white one is sanctified. And after we establish that as a given, that when one sanctifies, he sanctifies with an ayin ra. Ayin ra means a minimalistic approach. Whatever he can get away with to fulfill his sanctification, whatever minimum he can get away with, that's all. So if you work with that assumption that a person is makdish ba'ayin ra, and in our Mishnah where he had sanctified a black one and a white one becomes sanctified, and we say the white one becomes in fact sanctified, simin shalovenu gorua me'ashochar, that's a sign that the white is of poorer quality than the black. V'koshe al Rav Chisda, and that will present a problem for Rav Chisda. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Chisda. Uchma is black. Bechivra. Bechivra is white. So a black ox amongst white ones. Lakya. Lakya means negative. Could mean reduce the value. So that if you have a group of white oxen and there's one black one amongst them, the black one reduces the value of the white ones. So that indicates, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, that white is higher, is more mishubach, is a higher, as is of higher quality than a black one. Tanan. Shor shochor shiyetze mibesi rishon hegdish. And in our Mishnah, the thinking is that the white one becomes kadosh, and we would then maybe prefer to read like Abaye, and we would read this as shor shochor shiyotza mibesi rishon hegdish, and the white one becomes kodesh. And we continue reading in the Gemara, Kosalka Daitoch Ki Makdish, the thinking is that when one sanctifies Bayin Roa Makdish, that he sanctifies with a minimalistic approach. The Amri Beishamai have a Hegdish, and Beishamai rules that the white one in fact becomes sanctified, the white one being less than the black, and yet the sanctity takes hold because people would like to get away with as little as they can, which indicates then that the lavan is a poorer quality than the black. This then is a question, a problem for Rav Chisda. V'elamai, in order to solve this, what would you then want to say? ba'ayin yofe makdish, that people have a maximal type attitude toward sanctification, that they will, let's say, accept as sanctified only the best. Well, if you're going to take that approach, that ba'ayin yofe makdish, with a spirit of magnanimity, well, then let's keep reading in the Mishnah. Dinar shel zov shiale biyodi rishon violo kesef beishamayoimrim hegdish. Person declared that the first gold coin to enter my hand will be sanctified, and a silver coin worth much less is the first coin that fell into his hands. Beis Shammai says that the silver coin gets the sanctity. Well then, v'elomai bayin raw makdish. Well then, if that's the case, it would seem that a person, in fact, adopts the minimalistic approach. Well then, keep reading in the Mishnah. Chavis shel yayin shetale biyodi rishon. V'olamin shel shemen Beis Shammai omer mehegdish. Person declared that the first barrel of wine that he picks up will be hektish, will be sanctified, and in fact a barrel of oil is the first one that he picked up. Beis Shammai says, well, the oil becomes sanctified. Now for Hashemin Odif Miayin, oil is more expensive than wine, and yet the wine becomes sanctified, it would seem that a person has a maximalistic approach, an approach of magnanimity when it comes to sanctification. You can see then we have very little consistency in the Mishnah. E mishum ha, if this final segment of the Mishnah seems to present a problem, it doesn't present a problem. Lo kashya, there's no difficulty. What did we see in the last segment? That the oil became sanctified, and oil is seemingly or assumed to be more expensive than wine. Not so in this case. Beglila shanu. The Mishnah is a Mishnah that was authored in the northern part of Israel, in the Galil. The Chamra Adif Mimashcha. The Galil was famed for its vast olive oil production. And in such a region, the prices of oil are less than that of wine. Wine being more expensive there. And that having been said, the oil that he picked up first, becoming sanctified, is consistent with the idea that a person sanctifies ba'ayin raw, with the minimalistic approach. So that we saw in the case of the Dinar Shel Zov and Shialab and Olab Kesef, the Kesef became sanctified. We see in the case of the wine and oil, the oil which is cheaper becoming sanctified. It's then pretty clear that a person is makdish ba'ayin raw. Well, then Reisha Kashya L'Rachista. Then the first segment of the Mishnah where we saw the white one becoming sanctified, indicating that indicates to us then that the white is a poor quality, and that's why it became sanctified. So the Reisha Kashya L'Rav Chisda, this then stands as a problem for Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda insisted that the white are superior to the black. Omar loch Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda will answer, Ki Amri Betura de Karminoi. My comment that white are better, that's in the context of Tura are oxen, de Karminoi. Karminoi is a reference to plowing oxen. So in the context of oxen designed for plowing, the white are better. But when seeking animals for their meat value, then the black are better. The Omar Rav Chisda, Uchma Lemashche, Sumka Lebisre, Chivra Leradja. Black oxen are known for their high quality mashche, are skins, leather. Red oxen are known for their meat quality, and white oxen are known for their plowing quality. The Gemara asks, "V'omar Rav Chisda uchma b'chivra lakya." Rav Chisda said that a black ox amongst white ones depreciates the value of the entire herd, which we think means whether it's for skins or for plowing. The Gemara says, "Ki Amri," when I said that black is an inferior type ox, Betura de Carminoi. That's in the context of plowing oxen. But for skin purposes, for leather purposes, in fact, the black is better. The Mishnah. We glance at the side of our Gemara to the Nosei, where we read Machlokus Beishame Bishilo Binin Hegdish Betos Yavi Hegdish Im Yesh Lumod Mizeh Shetos Bemeiser Behema Chal. Once having exposed ourselves to the Machlokus Beishame Bishilo regarding Hegdish Betos, can we learn from that to the case of Meiser Behema where there is a mistake? The Mishnah. Mi shenodar v'nozir. A person accepted upon himself a vow of nazirus, and he violated his nazirus by drinking wine. V'nishal l'chocham. And he sought out a sage to investigate whether the language of his initial nazirus, his initial acceptance or his initial vow, was in fact a language that would bind him. Did he term his vow in vow terms? And the Osro, and the Chocham binds him, meaning he says, yes, what you said was a real vow of nazirus. Now, in the meantime, the fellow had violated his nazirus by drinking wine. Moine misha shenodar. He counts. Now, here, the simple understanding is he counts from a beginning time. He doesn't have to make up any time. Nisha l'chocham v'tiro. He consulted with the Chocham, and it turned out that his vow was never a vow. He didn't use proper language that would bind him. Hoysa lo behema mufreshes. If he had set aside animals for nazirus sacrifices, thinking that he had accepted nazirus, and now he discovers that he never had accepted nazirus, Teitzei v'tir be'eder. The animal goes out to graze in his herd. Amru beis hilo levei shamai. Iyatem moidim bozeh shu hegdish tos. Sheteitzei v'tir be'eder. Do you not concede that this was a case of hegdish? The initial sanctification was under mistaken circumstances, and the result is that nothing took hold, and it goes out to graze in the herd. Amar lehen beis shamai. Iatem moidim Beishamai responds, do you not agree b'mishita v'kor l'chi asiri l'asiri chi l'achanasur asiri shu mekudosh? This is a reference to Meiser Behema. For those who are not familiar with Meiser Behema, literally it's a tenth of his animals, but it's a tenth of every year's births, new births of animals in the course of a year. So he has, a flock of sheep. During the course of the year, he might have had tens of births. Those animals born within that year are passed through a narrow passageway, and they're counted off each one individually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. And when he gets to number 10, the number 10 is painted with a red dye. It's called Sikra, and it is brought by the owner of the herd to the Beis HaMikdash, where it's offered as a sacrifice, known as Meiser Behema. So Beis Shammai says, do you not concede that someone who, in the counting of the animals, made a mistake, and when the ninth animal came out, he thought it was the tenth, and he called it 10. And when the 10th one came out, he said 9. And when the 11th one came out, he said 10. Do you not agree, says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, that all three are sanctified? So what do you see from here? You see that Hegdish Betos takes hold. It does. It's binding. Omar Lohem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says back to Beis Shammai, Lo Hashevet Kitcho. It's not as if the rod, there's a rod that is used for the counting purposes. Beis Hillel says it's not that the rod sanctified them. And the proof that it's not the rod that imposes the sanctity, imagine during the counting he places the counting rod on the 8th animal or on the 12th animal. Shem also klum. Would that have any significance? By placing the rod, which is used to establish the 10th animal, to declare it as the 10th animal, then hence holy as a Meiser Behema sacrifice, if he would place the rod on the 8th or the 12th animals, nothing would take place. No sanctity would be imposed. Ela kosuv shekidesh asirihu kidesh hachii. We continue at the top of Lamed Beis. Rather, says the Mishnah, that the pasuk, the scripture that imposed sanctity on the 10th animal, hu kidesh hatshii v'es achadosar. And we're at the top of Daf Lamed Beis, Omed Aleph. It's the sanctity of these. Of number 9 and 11 as well as 10, when you declare them as the Mishnah illustrated, their sanctity is a function of a pasuk. So Beis Hillel is arguing you can't use Meiser Behema as a precedent for saying Hegdish Betos is Hegdish and that it takes hold. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei heading. Mishen Nodar bin Nozir, the Ovar al Naziruso, someone who accepted upon himself a vow of Nazirus and violated his Nazirus. Kama yomim tzorach lahashlim. How many days does he have to make up? The Gemara opens with a question. It's a long question. As you can see, we've marked it off accordingly. Moni Masnisen. According to whom is our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yossi v'lo Rabbanan. It wouldn't appear to be like Rabbi Yossi, nor according to the Rabbanan. Desan Yomisha Nodar V'Ovar Al Nezirusoi. Person accepted a vow of Nezirus, and he violated the Nezirus. Ein Nizkokin Loi Elohim Kein Noyeg Bohen Isur Ki Yomim Shenoag Bohem Heter. We will not assist him, deal with him, unless he observes the number of days that he had violated in proper Nazirus. Rabbi Yossi Omer Dayo Shloshim Yom. Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to observe all the days that you violated in proper Nazirus. It's enough if you simply make up 30 days. I Rabbanan Kashya Nazirus Mu'etes. If our Mishnah were according to the Rabbanan, you would find that it cannot be in a case of a short-term Nazirus. Short-term Nazirus is a 30-day Nazirus. According to our Mishnah, if a person had accepted Nazirus for 30 days and started observing 10 days, and then for the next 20 days went ahead and violated, he drank wine. According to our Mishnah, he doesn't have to make up any of those days. Did we not see the Mishnah say that someone who had accepted Nazirus and violated it? Mone Mishosh Nodar, it said in the Mishnah. He simply counts his Nazirus from the time that he initially accepted it. So our Mishnah can't be according to the Rabbanon. And E, Reb Yossi, if our Mishnah was in accordance with Reb Yossi, Kashya Nazirus Meruba, you would find an inconsistency in the case of a very long Nazirus. Imagine a person accepted a Nazirus of 100 days, and he violated 60 of those days. Our Mishnah would say, we don't pay attention to his violation at all. Reb Yossi would say, well, it's true you violated 60 days, but you've got to make up 30 of those days. So whether the Rabbanan or Reb Yossi, they acknowledge the need to make up violated days. Our Mishnah doesn't indicate that. So that's our question. Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll learn the Tosfos, Divrei Maaseil Desanya, on the top line of the facing Tosfos page. Once again, we have the Tosfos in appearing from out of order from different places, and we've conveniently collected them on one facing page, Tosfos in for Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The top Tosfos says, Desanya Mishovar al Nazirso. Kigon shekibel olav nazirus mei al yom v'shosa biyayin shishim yomim ubal lahavi karbonosav. Person had accepted a nazirus of 100 days, drank wine during 60 of those days, and now he comes to bring his sacrifices. Ein niskokin lo lahavi karbonos naziruso. We're not going to assist him in offering his sacrifices. Elo imkein moina isuron. Unless he makes up those days with the Nazirus restrictions. Klomar Shishim Yom Kyam Shinoig Bohem Heter Shishosa Yayin. He's going to have to make up the 60 days that he violated. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Daya B'Shloshim Yom. Rabbi Yossi says it's enough to make up 30 days. Pirush Ri De Doha De Dayo Im Kansile Shloshim Yom Shim Nodar Me'al Yom, V'avar Shishim Yom, Lo Kan Sinon Le Listor HaKol. According to Rabbi Yossi, we don't fine him, impose upon him the need to make up all of these. Rak Shloshim Yom, U'Shloshim Yomim, Ya'ale L'Minyan Nazirus. Of the 60 days, 30 days he'll have to make up. The other 30 days will count toward his total Nazirus. Afal B'Shishosu Bem Ya, even though he did drink during them wine. Vadin ben Nazirus Mu'etis Rabbi Yossi. Similarly, in the case of a short Nazirus, Gigoni Nodar Shloshim, he accepted a Nazirus of 30 days, V'shosa Bekul and Yayin, and he drank during all 30 days wine, Yistar HaKol. He'll have to make up all of them. V'im Shoyse Shnei Yomim Yayin, Sarach Shimne Yomim Achirim, below Shtias Yayin. And if he drank wine during two of the days, he'll have to observe another 2 days without wine drinking. And we had learned in our Gemara that if our Mishnah was in accordance with the Shitas of Rabbanon, then you'll find a difficulty in the case of a Nazirus Merubah, Pirush Afilu Merubah, that even in the case of a long Nazirus, the Bein Nazirus Merubah, Kamo Kuf Yomim, Sheshosa Shishim Yayin, Soser HaKol, Ubay Nazirus Muetes, Gigon Shloshim Yom, Vishosa Chof Yomim, Tzorach Limnos Chof Yomim Achirim. According to the Rabbanan, it's very simple. As per the number of days that you violated the Nazirus, you are not going to be able to conclude your Nazirus unless you make up all of those days. Umasisin Mashma de Moina Mishosh another. Our Mishnah gives us the impression that you count from the time that he vowed. Klomar, Mitzis Yomim Shinodar, She'eno, the Mitzis Yomim Shinodar, She'eno Soser, Kol Hashishim, Elorak Shloshim Yom, Vishloshim Yom, Achirim Yalulo, Vahainu Nami Krib Yossi, Abba Benaziris Muetis, Kashya, Shafilu Reb Yossi, Soser Kulo, Vmasisin Mashma, She'oil Loi Laminyan. The Tosfos has a new angle of explanation that we did not say before, and it is that according to our Mishnah that says Moine Mishal Shenodar, one could understand that he's able to count in the case of his violating, let us say, 60 days of a 100-day Nazirus, he's able to get credit for some of the days, but not for all of the days. In other words, his drinking of wine does not erase all 60 days, but it will erase 30 of the days. And that's something that Reb Yossi would agree with. However, in the case of a Nazirus Mu'etes, where he drank wine during the that period, even Reb Yossi agrees that if you drank wine during all 30 days, you're going to have to make up all 30 days. And according to our Mishnah, it sounds like you get a 30-day credit whenever violating Nazirus. So if your entire Nazirus was 30 days and you violated them, you get credit for them. So our Gemara points out then that in asking the question, according to whom is our Mishnah, it doesn't appear to be like the Rabbanan, nor does it appear to be like Reb Yossi. You may have noticed that in learning the Tosfos, the Girsa in our Gemara is different. So we would go back to the Gemara, five lines from the top, E Rabbanan Kashya Nazirus Meruba, E Reb Yossi Kashya Nazirus Muetes. And as we saw in the Tosfos, according to Reb Yossi, if a person had accepted a short-term Nazirus and violated all of the days, he would have to make up 30 days. According to our Mishnah, you get credit for 30 days off the top. In the case of Nazirus Meruba, so what Reb Yossi holds could be aligned with the opinion of our Mishnah. So how are we to explain authorship of our Mishnah? E boyes tema Reb Yossi, V boyes tema Rabbanan. Both options are in fact available. E boyes tema Reb Yossi. Our Mishnah can in fact be authored by Reb Yossi. Kan ben Nazirus Meruba, kan ben Nazirus Muetes. If we take a look at the Tosfos, we'll appreciate this. Iboy Esema Reb Yossi, Kan Benaziris Meruba, Masnisen Benaziris Meruba. Our Mishnah is speaking about someone who had accepted a long-term Nazirus, like 100-day Nazirus, for example. Ushloishim Yoim Soiser, Ushloishim Yoim Yalu Lo Laminyan, Kamo Benaziris Muetes. And if he had violated 60 of the 100 days, so he'll have to make up 30 days. The other 30 days goes on to his Nazirus credit. The Hadigam Reb Yossi Shiyister HaKol, and that which Reb Yossi says, you lose everything, B'Nazirus Muetes, V'Shosa B'Kulon Yayin. That's in a case where he accepted a 30-day Nazirus and he drank during all of the days wine. In such a case, he loses all 30 days. Avol benaziris meruba, maydi Rabbi Yossi, the ain so ser hakol. In a long term, naziris Rabbi Yossi will agree that he doesn't lose everything. Midukoma Rabbi Yossi dayo, from the language of Rabbi Yossi that we saw where he said, dayo shloshim yo. So that our Mishnah is speaking about a long term nazirus, and Rabbi Yossi is speaking about, when he speaks about losing everything and having to make up 30 days, that is a case of a short term nazirus. The second approach, V'boy is Temo Rabbonon, our Mishnah can be squared away with the opinion of the Rabbonon. Lo Temo, don't read in the Mishnah like we thought, Misha'a Shenozar, that he simply continues counting his Nazirus from the time that he initially vowed, giving us the impression that he doesn't lose any time for the days that he violated. Elo emo ke misha'a shenozar. Rather, according to the Mishnah, he has to count in accordance with the original Nazirus, and if he violated the original Zirus, he has to make up all of the days that he violated. Once again, we look at the Tosfos. V'boy esemo rabbonon, my mishah shenodar. What does the Mishnah mean when it says regarding someone who violated the nazirus, he has to count mishah shenodar k'mishah shenodar hachi pirusho? It's to be understood thusly: moina yomim shel isur, dainu shishim yomim v'ushasa bekulan yayin. A man who had accepted a nazirus of 100 days and he violated 60 of them, drinking wine during all those days, v'chein b'nazirus mu'etes, and likewise with regard to a short-term nazirus. V'hochi mashu lishin masnisin. And in order to appreciate this in the language of the Mishnah, we explain as follows. Moine misho shenodar, chozer umone kach v'kach yom misho oyu, misho shenodar v'over aleihem, Ato moine pamacheres. Mishabolifne chachomim vinigboim isur shtias yayin. He has to, according to the Mishnah, count the number of days that he violated and observe them again with the nazir restrictions. Avolvadai im kodim shishosu yayin mona mixas nazirus. It's certainly true, though, that if before he violated the Nazirus by drinking wine, he had counted properly observed Nazirus days. Those days he remain to his credit. Even according to the Rabbon, the concept of stira, of losing days because of drinking wine, that's a rabbinic idea. Not to be confused with the case of defilement. There, you lose everything that you had counted till that point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.